This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. Our hour of old-time radio crime begins with Richard Diamond, private detective, this week. You'll hear the Bill Kirby murder case from October 29th, 1949. After that, it's the lineup and Eddie Gaynor framed for murder, their story from July 20th, 1950.
Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective.
Diamond Detective Agency, surplus homicide, surplus hand grenades, black market embalming.
Oh, Rick.
Oh, Helen, what's with you?
It's what's with you I'm worried about.
What do you mean, what's with me?
You know what's with you.
Now, you stop that. That's my routine.
I want that which you pilfered from the living room the other night, and I want it back, and I want it right away.
Oh, but Helen, baby.
Don't you baby me. Now, you get it down here.
But I can't leave the office. I just got in. I haven't even washed out one sock.
Rick, it wasn't fair when you stole that picture, and I've been embarrassed about it ever since, and I want it back.
Oh, but honey, don't be that way. It looks lovely.
Can you see it?
Well, sure. Got it right on my desk.
Now, Rick, I won't have it.
Now, look, if anybody asks about it, I'll say it's me.
You never were a baby. You started with a beard and a low whistle.
Honey, I had a baby picture just like it once, and believe me, from the way you're facing in the picture, you couldn't tell the difference between us.
I'm lying on a rug. You probably had yours taken on spikes. Now, you bring that right over, or I'll tell everybody your middle name.
Helen.
I'll see you in 20 minutes, or I'll take a full-page chat in the time.
You wouldn't.
20 minutes. With the picture. Bye.
Helen. Oh, dandy.
Mr. Diamond?
Yes, but I'm afraid you'll have to come back. I've got to take care of something that might mean my whole future as a private detective.
I'm sorry. I won't keep you, but... Well, could you tell me the name of another good detective?
There aren't any. Goodbye.
Oh, please. I don't know where to go.
Oh, now, well, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Something's really wrong, isn't it?
Well, that's all right, Mr. Diamond. You go on. I'll find someone.
Look, I really didn't know you were in a tough spot. I've got enough time to listen.
Oh, thank you.
Who recommended me?
My son. Oh, I've heard about you for several years. My name's Kirby, Mrs. Lenore Kirby.
How do you do, Mrs. Kirby? Just how did your son know me?
Well, he didn't know you well, only by reputation. He was a private detective also.
Kirby? Bill Kirby?
Yes.
Wow. Now, tell me what's worrying you, Mrs. Kirby.
Well, I don't know quite where to start. William, Bill, has been acting strangely for the last month or so.
What exactly do you mean by strangely?
Well, he's changed. He's begun to act nervous and irritable. When his sister or I would try to find out what was wrong, he'd get angry. He got steadily worse. And then one morning, Gloria? My daughter, Bill's sister.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, she went into his room. He was asleep, so she started to hang up his trousers. When she turned them upside down, a lot of money dropped on the floor.
Oh? Well, what do you mean, a lot of money?
Well, Gloria said there must have been several thousand dollars. Mostly $100 bills.
Did he have another source of income? I mean, besides the private detective business?
Oh, no. At least nothing I know of.
Mm-hmm.
We're not wealthy, Mr. Diamond. Bill supports us with what he makes, and Gloria works as a secretary in a law firm, and I try to keep my house in order. Of course, I haven't been terribly well since the children's father died 10 years ago.
I see. Then what happened?
Well, Gloria started to put the money back in Bill's trousers, and he woke up. They had a terrible argument. Bill accused her of snooping, and she accused him of doing something illegal. The next day, Bill packed his clothes and left the house. He took a small apartment on 110th Street.
Uh-huh. Now, what is it you want me to do?
Oh, well, there's more to the story. Bill continued to send me money to keep the house going. Much more than he'd ever contributed before. I went over to his apartment several times and asked him about the money, and every time there'd be an argument.
Did he give you any kind of an excuse?
No, he just said he'd run into a good thing and that as long as it was helping out with the house, I shouldn't ask any questions.
Mm-hmm. All right, then what happened?
3 days ago, Bill came over to the house. I could tell he was terribly worried about something. He gave me a package, told me to hide it until he came for it and not to open it. Then he disappeared. He didn't go to his office or his apartment, and I haven't heard from him since.
Did you call the police?
Well, I didn't want to. He's mixed up in something. Oh, Mr. Dunn, I'm sure something's happened to my boy. I just know it has.
Look, Mrs. Kirby, I admit it sounds a little fishy, but you never can tell. Maybe it's a girl. Could be a lot of things. Where do you live?
984 Amsterdam Avenue. Oh, thank you.
Now, you go on home. Take it easy. I'll let you know if anything turns up.
All right. I'm sorry. I don't usually cry like this. Oh, Mr. Diamond, about your fee.
Mrs. Kirby?
Yes?
Do you cook?
Why, yes, I'm considered quite a good cook.
Well, if I do anything for your son, I'm a sucker for corned beef and cabbage. Now go on home, and I'll keep in touch with you.
Goodbye, Mr. Diamond. And God bless you.
I'm afraid he knows me too well. Goodbye, Mrs. Kirby. Funny how you can run into a situation like that. Any other time, it's got to be $100 a day in expenses. But that's because trouble doesn't usually bother me. There's too much of it around, and everybody's a stockholder. Then the little old lady walks in with a bucket full of heartache, and you realize the $100 a day in expenses is only the difference you carry around to make up for that big cold world outside. I put my merit badge away, grabbed Helen's picture off the desk, and headed for 975 Park Avenue.
Well, you're late. I was just going to call the papers, but I wasn't quite sure how you spell your middle name. It's, C-H-O...
Here's the picture.
Thank you.
I didn't know you had a mole in your...
Rick. Aren't you coming in?
No, I'm not. I'm mad. Won't even let me keep your little old baby picture. Now, about that mole...
Now, you stop that. Why can't you come in?
Well, I got a client right after I talk to you. I got to go down to the 5th precinct and do some checking.
Will I see you tonight?
If you'll tell me about the mole.
Now, Rick.
See you at 8. Bye, mole. Sam, a baby. I left Helen and started down Park Avenue. Every private detective must get a license before he can operate, and the police department has to issue it. So I headed for the 5th Precinct Police Station. When I walked in the squad room, I spotted Sergeant Otis looking like he was headed for the elephant's graveyard. What's the matter with you, Otis? You're greener than a new lawn.
Oh, hello, Shamus. I don't feel so good.
No, as a matter of fact, you don't. A little pudgy around the shoulders.
Ah, oh, come on, lay off. I tell you, I feel sick.
Let's see your tongue.
Huh? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how's it look?
I don't know. But be careful who you show it to. Somebody's liable to think it's poisonous and kill it with a stick. Hello, Walt.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm too tired to be scared off today. Who's dead and where?
Not today, Walt. And what are you so tired about?
We had a killing this morning. I've questioned every suspect in the whole state. Nothing.
Who got dead?
Maybe you knew him. A Shamus.
Kirby?
What? Hey, how the devil did you know that?
Just a guess.
Guess my 38. You know something?
I don't know anything, Walt. Kirby's mother was just at my office.
Oh.
Yeah, oh.
Well, you don't have to get sore.
I'm not sore. Just wondering who's going to tell Mrs. Kirby.
Otis went over there a little while ago. He saw the sister. The mother wasn't home yet.
Oh, that's why he looks so bad.
Yeah, I guess so. Wouldn't you?
Okay, where's the body?
Downstairs. You want to take a look?
Not especially. I told his mother I'd do something for him, and right now I don't seem to be able to think of a thing.
Get the killer. Help me.
Okay, let's go down and take a look. Been in the river.
Yeah. Put four slugs in him first, though.
What kind of a gun?
12-gauge shotgun. Used a deer load.
Anything on him?
Just the usual identification.
Okay, let's put him back.
I don't know why he got knocked off. No motive, no nothing.
The mother has quite a story.
Yeah?
She told me her son...
Hey, Lieutenant! Lieutenant!
Oh, no.
Yeah?
And here comes Malicious.
Hey, we just got a call. Kirby's mother and sister just got beat up. Something awful.
What?
Come on, Walt.
Oh, this is crazy. Yeah. First the son gets it for no apparent reason, then the rest of the family get beat up.
I think I can tell you why the mother and sister got beat up.
Yeah, why?
Probably the package Kirby left with his mother.
What package?
I'll tell you about it on the way over to the car.
Okay, Otis, okay. Come on, step on it.
Lieutenant.
Yeah, yeah. This time you can use the siren.
Oh, boy.
Come in.
Hello, Mrs. Kirby. The doctor tells us you won't allow them to take you to the hospital.
No, I'm not leaving my house. Take more than two cheap hoodlums to drive me out of my house.
Well, the doctor says you'll be all right, but I think the hospital might be safer for a few days.
This is Lieutenant Levinson, Mrs. Kirby.
How'd you do,
How
Lieutenant?
How do you do? I know you don't feel much like talking.
Oh, no, that's quite all right. I'll be glad to help in any way that I can.
Were they after the package your son left with you?
Yes, but I didn't give it to them. I almost did when they started to hit Gloria, but I knew they had something to do with Bill's death.
And you knew the package was important, too.
Yes.
Oh, where is the package, Mrs. Kirby?
In the bread box, in a bread wrapper.
Pretty cute.
Otis.
Yeah, Lieutenant?
Go in the kitchen and bring me the loaf of bread in the bread box.
You want some sardines, too?
Otis, just the bread, please.
Oh, okay.
Mrs. Kirby, the two men who came here, do you think you could identify them?
Oh, yes. It would be hard to forget them.
You're sure you don't have any idea what kind of trouble your son was in?
No.
Here's the bread, Lieutenant.
Yeah. Well, I'll be...
Hey, it's a shoe.
Is this one of your son's shoes, Mrs. Kirby?
No. No. He wears a much smaller size. No, that isn't his shoe.
I don't get this. Nothing in it, just a shoe.
A big one. What size is it?
Hey.
What's the matter?
Well, the shoe size on the inside, it says 6B and then five numbers after it.
Well, if that's a 6B, Otis wears matchboxes.
Oh, yeah?
Otis.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand. Why would Bill leave a shoe and act like it was so important?
Because it probably was very important.
You think these numbers...
Could be. Let's see. Well, if these numbers do mean anything, it sure isn't going to be easy finding out. Here's something, Walt.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Shoe's got new heels on it. It's been half soled.
Otis.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Take the shoe down to the station. Give it to the lab. See what they can find out. And then get the boys out and check every shoe repair shop in the city. I want to know where the shoe was half soled.
Okay.
Mrs. Kirby, you're sure you can't think of a thing that might give us a tip about your son?
No, nothing, Mr. Diamond.
Rick. I'm going down to the station, find out about that shoe. Then I'll send our rogues gallery over so Mrs. Kirby can try and pick out the two guys who worked her over. Oh, check with me if you find out anything, will you?
Right, Walt.
Mr. Diamond, there's no reason for you to go on with this case. My son's dead. You can't help him now. I'm sure your business is very important.
Mrs. Kirby, I said I'd do something for your son. Well, I was a little late. Now I'm going to do something for me. There's a killer loose, and two slobs who beat up women. I'm a little unhappy, Mrs. Kirby, so I've got to square this beef the only way I know how. First, I'd like to talk to your daughter. Now, now, look, Gloria. It's tough, and I don't like to stick my big nose in when it is. But you want something done about it, don't you?
Yes.
Then think real hard. Can you tell me anything about your brother that might be connected with his death?
No. No, Mr. Diamond. I've thought and thought and thought. I just can't understand it.
Well, you may have been looking for the wrong thing, a reason or a motive. That's not what I want.
What do you want?
Something you might not even realize. Something that might not seem important, but is very important. Now, try to think. When you first began to suspect that your brother was in trouble, did he mention any names, talk about any places?
No.
Not that I can remember.
What did he do when he wasn't at his office?
Oh, please. Please, I don't know. I just don't know.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mom and I appreciate what you're doing, Mr. Diamond. Right now, it's hard for me. I'll try.
Okay. No places. No names. Did he have a girl?
No, he didn't have a girl. He led a fairly simple life. Had a regular routine.
Routine?
Mom used to worry about it sometimes. Said he didn't have enough fun. Didn't know anybody.
What kind of a routine was this?
Well, the usual thing around the house in the morning. He'd go to work. On his way home, he always stopped at a bar on Columbus Avenue for a beer. Then home. Dinner. Read until 10:30 or 11. Go to bed.
Nothing else?
No, he did that every day. At least up until the time when he started acting funny and I found all that money.
I see. Well, thanks. I'll let you know if anything turns up, Gloria.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. I hope you...
Yeah. I left the Kirby house and walked out on the street. It was getting near 6 o'clock and a light breeze was blowing the night in. It was turning cold, so I flipped my collar up and started for Columbus Avenue and the bar that Bill Kirby used to stop in for a beer. I turned on 88th Street, picked up speed to shake the chill out of my ankles.
Hey, you.
Yeah?
You, Diamond.
So what?
So where's the shoe?
Oh, you're going to find it harder working me over than a couple of women.
Working you over, maybe, yeah. Killing you? Everybody dies easy. Give me the shoe.
Where's your friend?
Move in this alley. I'll give you an introduction.
I'm busy.
You're going to be busy getting dead if you don't get in the alley. I got my gun in my pocket.
I bet you shrink 4 feet when you aren't carrying it.
What? Okay.
Did you get him?
Yeah. But it don't look like he's got the shoe on him.
Yeah, but he knows where it is.
Tell me, boys, is it fun beating up women?
More fun beating up those gumshoes, ain't it, Danny?
Sure. You want to tell us where the shoe is, Shamus?
Right now, it should be in the police lab.
Hey, Danny, you think those cops really took it out of the house?
I don't know. I couldn't see. Diamond, I still think the old dame gave it to you when she went up to see you at your office this morning.
What did you kill her son for?
Who said I killed him, friend? Kirby got smart about the shoe like you did. He got dead for his trouble. How do you feel about your future, friend?
Pretty good. The cops will figure that shoe out.
Not unless they know what they're looking for. He ain't got the shoe on him, Bart. I think he's telling the truth. Let's go tell the boss.
Yeah, what do we do with the gumshoe?
Oh, I'm surprised at you, Bart. Give me your sap.
Hey, now wait a minute.
For what?
Okay. You gonna knock him off?
I get a salary for killing. The boss ain't paying me to knock this guy off. I want to save him in case he thinks I should later on. Let's go.
It isn't easy coming out of a fast beating. When the guy works you over slow, you don't go to sleep right away. Not until he wants you to anyway. Then he taps you with a good one and that's it. When he does it in a hurry, the first one's enough to stun a dragon, but for some reason he decides you need a few more. And friend, that's when coma sets in. When I finally pulled myself out of it, my watch said 7 o'clock and my head felt like a balloon with rice in it. I finally came around to a reasonable way of thinking and headed for the bar on Columbus Avenue.
Yes, sir? What? Holy Ike.
Give me anything with nerves in it and tell me where your phone is.
Sure. You're a mess.
Yeah, I know. Been advertising a popular cigarette. Been stepping out of thousands of store windows all over the country. Now, where's your phone?
Right over there, the end of the bar. Hey, you want us to put some plasma in this drink?
Oh, that was a Jim Dandy.
Lieutenant Levinson, homicide.
Walt, Rick.
Rick, where the devil you been?
Playing patty cake with the two gonips who worked over Mrs. Kirby and her daughter.
Well, we've been trying to get you. Otis been calling blondes all over town. Mrs. Kirby and her daughter identify the two hoods.
First name's Bart and Danny?
Yeah, Bart Franchetti and Danny Miller. We have a pickup out on them now. They hurt you bad?
Oh, I'll make it, but I'm going to ache for a while. What did you find out about the shoe?
Well, we really got some fast action on those half-soles. Figured if Kirby picked him up at a shoe repair shop, it must have been somewhere in his neighborhood. We were lucky. We were right. Little shoe shop on Columbus Avenue.
Columbus Avenue? What address?
695. Why?
Because I'm in a bar right across the way.
Huh?
Can't see the shoe store now because it's too dark, but Kirby's sister told me you used to come in here for dinner. He could have watched it then.
Oh, stay there. I'll be right over.
Here you are, mister.
Thanks. Say, did you know Bill Kirby?
The Shamus? Oh, sure. What do you mean, did I know him?
He's pretty dead.
Oh, no.
He came in here every day, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, for a beer. But come to think of it, I ain't seen him since he left...
Left you what?
Nothing at all.
Now, wait a minute. If Kirby left you anything, let's have it.
If Kirby's dead, I'll turn it over to the cops.
You want the badge?
Oh, well, okay. Why didn't you say so? I got in the cash register. He told me if anything happened to him to turn it over to the law. Okay. Here. Just an envelope.
Thanks.
What is it?
A name and address. Look. Lieutenant Levins will be here in a few minutes. Tell him I've gone to this address, 18 North River.
That's down near the docks.
Yeah. And tell him I've gone to find a guy named James Willis.
Mr. Willis, who's calling? One moment, please.
Honey, is Mr. Willis in?
Yes. The emergency hospital's on the second floor.
I always go around this way. It makes people notice me. Which is Mr. Willis's office, dear?
Right over there, but I'm afraid you can't...
Here's the badge, baby.
Oh.
And don't ring him.
Yes, sir.
Yes?
Well. James Willis, when did you change your name from Coslick?
Now, look, Diamond, I've got a good job here. I never could have gotten it if the company had known I was James Coslick and I'd done time.
In the shipping business, huh? What's an old-time safe-cracker like you doing in the shipping business?
You're not a cop anymore, Diamond. You helped put me away once, but I've quit the rackets, and I'm doing fine in a legit way. Now you can leave.
What is your company ship?
We're in export and import firm. We ship and receive everything. Now get out.
What is your company import that might interest two professional thugs like Bart and Danny?
What? I don't know what you mean.
Where do you have your shoes fixed? Little place on Columbus Avenue, maybe?
I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't intend to sit here and listen to you and your riddles. Miss Williams, will you please have one of the watchmen send in to show Mr. Diamond out?
Yes, sir, but two gentlemen wish to see you. They say it's very important.
Well, I can't see anyone.
Well, I think maybe you better. They seem very deaf.
Miss Williams, I don't...
What's the matter, Mr. Willis?
Diamond, let go of my hair!
Tell her to show the gentleman in, or I'll make Sitting Bull look like a piker. Go on.
Send the two gentlemen in, Miss Williams.
Okay. I'm going over here behind the door.
You be a good boy. You nearly pulled all my hair out.
Well, what's the difference? The way things look, the state might have to shave your head anyway.
Hey, Willis, we want to talk to you.
Well, what's the matter? You sore because we came up here?
Hey, what's with the guy? He just sits there holding his head.
Good evening, boys.
Hey, look who's here.
Yeah, it's the Shamus. And he looked pretty.
You fools. You two blundering fools.
Now, wait a minute. If you're worried about Diamond, we'll take care of him.
I told you I could never be seen with you. You know how we're all watched when the gold shipments come in?
Oh, that's it. That's what the shoe was all about.
Yeah, you smart one.
Shut up. I've got to think.
You got the confidential shipping report and put it in that shoe in some kind of code so it could be picked up. Then your dear little boys were going to try to hijack the gold. Well.
Want me to shut him up?
No, are you crazy? That secretary saw him come in. Take him out the same way.
I'm going to be stubborn.
Yeah?
Oh, okay. Isn't it silly what a little .38 can do?
Let's go.
All right, but look, as long as I'm probably going to end up in the river, would you mind telling me one thing?
Yes, I do.
No, that's swell. That's really swell. Kirby recognized you going into that shoe store. He remembered you had a record, so he probably tailed you. Found out where you worked and went back to take a look at that shoe. He found the same thing wrong that I did. The numbers weren't his shoe size, and he probably thought it was crazy when you left only one shoe. So he took the shoe.
You always were a pretty smart cop, Diamond. Danny.
Yeah, boss.
Before you kill the smart cop, pull his hair out.
Pull his hair out?
By the roots. Now take him out of here.
Was Kirby blackmailing you, Willis?
Yes. Being stupid, he didn't know what the shoe was for, but he knew it was worth something. Now, please, Danny, get Mr. IQ through that door.
Move.
Okay.
I'm looking for Mr. Willis.
Ho-ho.
Yeah, what's funny, Shamus?
You boys are in for a big surprise.
Oh, Mr. Willis must be free. Here they come now.
Just keep walking, Shamus. Nothing's wrong.
Oh, are you gentlemen through with Mr. Willis?
Yeah, Fatso, go on in. He'll see you.
Thank you.
Let's go, Shamus.
Oh, one more thing.
Yeah, now what?
Duck, Rick!
Thanks, Walt.
And you take it easy, Bart.
I ain't going for no gun. I ain't doing nothing. Please, don't shoot.
Walt, James Willis is really James Kozlik. I'm going in after him.
Well, here, Cat, you'll need a gun. Is he in there?
Out the window. I went over to the window fast and spotted my man just dropping down off the fire escape. The building fronted on a long dock, and Willis had 50 yards to go before he could find cover. Then I said that stupid thing.
Willis! In the name of the law, stop!
Well, he didn't stop in the name of the law, so I rested my arm on the windowsill and led him about 2 feet. At 50 yards, a running man can be hard to hit with a .38. Sometimes.
You get him, Rick?
Yeah. See you down at the station.
How do you like it, Rick?
No cream. 12 lumps.
Right. Say, I had a phone call from the president of Continental Shipping where that Willis guy worked.
Oh, what do you make this coffee out of? Gunpowder?
He says there's always been a standing reward of $1,000 for the apprehension of any person attempting to rob their shipment.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Diamond. Miss Asher phoned. She wants you should call.
Thanks, Otis.
Thanks? What's wrong with you?
You heard him, Otis. He said thanks.
Okay. He must be sick.
More coffee, Rick?
Yeah, I'll have another cup.
Hello?
Hi, honey.
Rick, where are you? I thought you were coming over.
Well, baby, I've got to stop by and see a nice old lady named Kirby. Her son got killed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Will I see you later?
No, I don't think so, honey. I'm a little tired.
All right, Rick.
Well, don't sound too unhappy. I'll see you tomorrow night.
Well, all right. But you always sing to me, and I wanted you to sing tonight.
Well, I haven't gotten any letters from the apartment building next door yet, so I'm going to lay off 1 week and see if the tenants miss the singing.
All right, Rick. I'll see you tomorrow night.
Goodbye, baby.
Bye, Rick.
Well, I think I'd better get over to Mrs. Kirby's, Walt. Well,
don't you want your coffee?
Yeah, give it to Otis.
What are you going to tell Mrs. Kirby? I mean about her son and the blackmail.
Well, what are you going to tell Continental Shipping?
Well, you caught him. You get the $1,000.
Oh, Mrs. Kirby's pretty broke.
Uh-huh.
Kirby was the one who really spotted the play.
Yeah, but if I say anything about the blackmail...
What blackmail?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, come to think of it, that was another case, wasn't it?
See you later, Walt.
Rick.
Yeah?
Oh, nothing. Be a good boy.
You have just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg, Lieutenant Levinson by Ed Begley. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, Stephen Dunn, Peggy Weber, and William Johnstone. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Richard Diamond is written by Blake Edwards and directed by Richard Sandell. Dick Powell soon will be seen in the screen version of the best-selling novel, Mrs. Mike. Now, this is Eddie King inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Saturday night brings some of the week's best radio entertainment when you tune for the stars on NBC. Stay tuned every Saturday for a great lineup of programs, including Hollywood Star Theater, Ralph Edwards' Truth or Consequences, Your Hit Parade, A Day in the Life of Dennis Day, The Judy Canova Show, and Grand Ole Opry. All the best on NBC.
The FBI in Peace and War, usually heard at this time throughout the year, is taking its summer vacation. The FBI in Peace and War will return to CBS 6 weeks from now, August 31st. Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. We take you now to the lineup.
Don't worry about a thing, Mr. Hornsby.
I just don't want anything to happen to me. I've got a family.
Just identify the man you saw holding the gun. We'll see that nothing happens to you. Sit down.
Gangsters. I should never have taken that job as janitor there in the first place. A suite of offices. A nest for gangsters.
You should have thought about that.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of the line, when I call for questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have him held.
I don't like this, Lieutenant. I'm worried.
The officers who took your name will assist you. They're seated among you. Please be prompt with your questions or identification. When the prisoners leave here, they are sent to the bathroom and dressed back into their jail clothes. It makes it quite difficult to bring them back here after they leave. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers as they often lie. Bring on the line. This way, boys, right down the stage. You, the front man, walk to the end of it, take your place. The rest follow. Turn around and face front. Hands by your sides. Look straight ahead so the people out there can see you. Number one, John Meston, vagrancy. Where do you live, John?
House on 69th Street.
I know that, but what number?
Ain't no number. One with a flag and a owner.
All right. What were you doing when the officer arrested you?
I was in a barrel.
What were you doing in a barrel?
Nothing, Lieutenant. When things get going bad, I find me a barrel and I sit in it until I feel better. Anything wrong with that?
Number two, Lee Dahlgren, carrying concealed weapons. Where do you live, Lee?
Blue Point Hill, 1256 Park Boulevard.
That's a pretty tony place, Lee. What were you doing on Skid Row with the Luger?
Walking.
Where'd you get the Luger?
It's not mine. It's my wife.
Where'd she get it?
I was going to ask her today where she got it.
Number three, Aaron Kujarin, theft. Where do you live, Aaron?
Uratu, Armenia.
Armenia. What are you doing here?
Getting ready to go back to Uratu, Armenia.
What were you doing when the officer arrested you?
Practicing my profession like so I had in Uratu, Armenia.
What's your profession, Aaron?
Pickpocket.
Number four, Eddie Gaynor, suspicion of murder. Where do you live?
Wherever you let me.
Number four.
Mr. Harris.
Number four.
All right, Sergeant.
Turn sideways, Eddie.
Okay. This is sideways.
Again, so your back is to the audience. Again, sideways. Front, Eddie. Is this man identified?
How about him, Mr. Hardison?
Number four.
You're new in town, aren't you, Eddie?
I wouldn't say so. I already feel like I was born here, lived here, died.
When did you get in?
2 days ago. It's a frame. I didn't kill him. Maybe I should never come.
From where?
Longridge. It's in Illinois. It's where Chicago dumps its garbage.
Why did you leave it?
I told you. I wanted to better myself. Live like real people live. Especially rich people.
What do you do, Eddie?
Come again?
I mean, what's your work, your profession? How do you make a living?
Oh, that. I steal, beat up on a week. The price is right, I'll kill. There are other ways to make a living.
Johnny Durando was a big man in our town. Price for killing him must have been high. Who paid you to kill him, Eddie?
Nobody. because I didn't kill Johnny Tarano. Why should I kill him? I needed him.
For what?
What I said to better myself. Johnny was big.
He was a hoodlum, a gangster.
Like I said, like you said, he was big. Good connections. When I get to town, the wind whispers in my ear, Johnny Tarano. With Johnny, it'll be good. I don't kill what's good for him.
How does Steve, the janitor, the man who identified you, said he heard shots early this morning while he was cleaning up. Saw you running out of Johnny's office with a gun in your hand. Found Johnny with bullet holes in him.
Just like I found him.
Tell me how it was.
It'll do good.
Tell me.
Walking down the hall at Johnny's office, I hear shots. Quick, I run in. Johnny slumped over his desk. He's dead with his head on his penny bank. I reach for my gun. I don't have it.
Oh?
I don't have it because my gun got there ahead of me. It's on the floor at Johnny's feet. My gun. And he timed it perfect. He knew I had an appointment with him at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Why didn't you leave it alone? Why'd you pick up your gun? Why did you run?
You must be kidding. Must be making big ha-ha jokes with me, huh? Why does a guy like me run?
Who arranged your appointment with Taranto?
Something who sells perfume, cologne, things like that.
Ruby Lloyd?
Yeah. Ruby. Never saw him before in my life. About 5 o'clock, he picks me up at the pool room where I've been hanging out. In this big car. Takes me to his store, sells me a fifth in November afternoon. Tells me I got an appointment with Johnny. What more could a guy ask?
Between 5 and 2 in the morning, where were you?
The girl. I gave you her name Free. Because she was in on a frame. Jenny Breen. At the Free Smile counter in Mickey's Bar on Main.
How were you framed, Eddie? Tell me.
Jenny takes me home with her because she sees I'm a stranger in town. We talk, she sings me a lullaby. Fall asleep. 5 to 2, she wakes me, pushes me out the door. I shouldn't be late for my appointment with Toronto. I don't even have time to notice my gun is gone. I figured him.
You got a date, Eddie. You got a date to die because you murdered.
What have you got, man?
A report from ballistics. The bullet in Toronto's body came from Eddie's gun here.
Yeah, what a pretty, pretty frame. You boys can go petty planning. Now, your day's work's done.
Maybe, Eddie. I'll go make sure. Lock him up, man.
Drinking what, mister?
Scotch. Johnny Walker.
Scotch.
Thanks.
Well, you asked for it, you got it. Makes me nervous when a guy just stares at his scotch. Oh, lonesome, huh? A scotch stare with a burden, huh? We provide, mister.
Yeah. Friend told me.
You see, a friend told you. Our hostesses bring a smile, mister. What'd your friend tell you?
Jenny.
He told you good. Jenny. Hey, Jenny. A friend told this lonesome man there was a girl, Jenny, here.
Hello.
He poured that drink for you, Jenny.
Uh-huh. Well, try a keg.
Enjoy each other. Yell loud and clear when you want more.
I said hello.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of a clever answer.
Forget it.
I was just thinking.
Forget
Jenny.
That, too. Still a young evening. Give me a nickel, huh?
All right. Here.
What'd your friend say about me?
That you're nice to talk to? He was in last night.
It's a good song. It's a real good song.
Last night he came in feeling unhappy. He said, Jenny, listen to him.
What line of work are you in, mister?
Oh, you call it public relations?
Fancy. I like things made out of silk. Did your friend tell you that?
He said he went home with you.
Last night?
Mm-hmm.
Last night.
That's what Eddie said.
You know why you're not drinking your drink? Because you're a cop on duty who's not drinking on duty.
What happened last night?
Max! Max, come here. What happened to me last night, Max?
Oh. What happened to you last night? You were here till 3 in the a.m. I took you home. Had my eye on you all last night, Jenny.
Goodbye, cop.
Ben, hey, just in time. I was just going to close up.
Hi, Ruby.
What's the matter, Ben? You're going out and you need to smell good? I guess an English cologne on sale will make you smell like a dove. Come on in. I locked the door because if another customer came in, I'd be rude to him. I'm not tired. Well, what can I show you, Ben? It's always such a pleasure to wait on you.
You stayed open today, huh, Ruby?
I shouldn't have done that. Should have stayed home and sewed the black band on my sleeve, huh? Yes, but I've got a sale going on. It's been advertised in the press, on radio, and TV. Oh, I couldn't disappoint my client.
Johnny Taranto might have been disappointed.
Johnny might have been at that. Many ways, he was a sensitive man. You know, Ben, I've been so engrossed in this sale, I didn't even think of it in that way. Oh, forgive me, Johnny.
That's all Johnny's death means to companion. His number one errand boy.
Well, at the funeral, I'll be his number one mourner. Oh, why'd you pry into my emotions, Ben?
Where were you last night, Ruby? Around 2 o'clock, say.
Well, with my wife at home. I couldn't sleep, so my wife played hearts with me. You can check that with our maid. She let us use her card. I don't keep a pack in the house.
With Johnny Taranto dead, the syndicate could crown you king in this town, couldn't it, Ruby?
Oh, it could, but I gave up all that years ago, as everyone knew, even Johnny. And you know in my heart I hate perfume.
What did you promise Eddie for the job?
Eddie gave me? Oh, you think I hired him to kill Johnny?
It could work out good for you that way. You get rid of Johnny, frame the kid, retire from toilet water.
If I weren't so exhausted, Ben, I'd be angry with you. Well, look, it was like this. Word comes to me a kid from out of town wants to contact Johnny. I'm a friend of man, so I arrange a meeting. How do I know the kid is unstable and will throw bullets like stones into Johnny's face? Oh, here, I'll let you out.
I'll manage. Don't take your wife away for a vacation, Ruby. We'd miss you both.
Just got a call, Lieutenant. Homicide.
Where, Perry?
Alley between Maple and Truth. 23rd Street. 3 blocks away. Red light siren.
Let's go.
Yeah. I guess down here, Lieutenant. Yeah, there.
I should have figured it.
No purse. Might make identification a little tough.
No, I know who she is.
Huh?
A girl who liked hillbilly music.
In the bar?
Yeah. Call them all, Party. Tell them to come to an alley and pick up Ginny Breen.
Behind the scenes at police headquarters as we bring you The Lineup. It's not only murder in an antique shop. It's murder by an antique method which faces Mr. Keene when he comes to CBS again tonight. This time, the famed tracer of lost persons investigates the death of a man who owns an old curiosity shop and who has been murdered by one of his items of merchandise, an antique battle axe. Join Mr. Keene just a little later tonight on most of these same CBS stations for Murder in the Old Curiosity Shop. And now, we return you to The Lineup.
Well, let me know. I want a lift. 2 a.m. long enough to work.
I need the bed.
Me too. What's worrying you, Ben? A gang killing? You've been through it before. Sometimes we come up with a killer, sometimes no. So you sleep on it.
As simple as that, eh?
Simpler. A young hooligan comes to town, knocks over Johnny Taranto. What's comfort?
I know.
So you sleep on it.
Yeah.
You're still trying to alibi Eddie Gaynor?
He said he was framed.
A young hood, his gun at the scene of the crime. Oh, don't get philosophical about a punk like that.
Why was Jenny Breen killed, Matt?
A hanger-on. She rubbed noses with hooligans. She could have come to me 5 years ago and I would have told her what happened. Maybe I couldn't have said what alley, but there would have been an alley in it.
We've got to find out who killed him, Matt.
We will.
And who killed Johnny Toronto?
Eddie Gaynor.
I don't know. I really don't know.
How can you not know? Taranto runs everything in this town that's got a fast dollar strung to it. He buys lots with these fast dollars, most anything he wants. Let's not kid ourselves. Taranto owns his part of this town. Someone wants it, hires Eddie Gaynor to kill him. Let's not kid each other, Ben.
I'll drop you off, Matt.
Such late hours, you boys keep.
What's on your mind, Tobin?
What's on my mind, he says. What's on a lawyer's mind at a time like this, in a place like this? With boys like you?
Stop jingling those coins, Tobin.
All right.
What's on your mind?
Read it. Read it and pop a tear.
A writ.
Habeas corpus, boys. Release Eddie Gaynor. Writ says so. I'll wait for him at the desk.
Sleep well.
What stupid...
I'll go on with your education, Ben. Eddie Gaynor's just been sprung. People with connections...
Don't say it. Come on. I'll take you home. All right. Yeah?
I just got to tell you this, copper, because it's too good to keep to myself.
Who is this?
You slept the night through, copper. Your pillow was a deadly mistake. Deadly.
What are you talking about?
It's 7 o'clock in the morning of a new day, and you don't know what I'm talking about? Eddie Gaynor, that's what.
What about Eddie?
You should never have released him, copper, because releasing Eddie made him sick. So sick he died.
Who is this?
Try the used car lot on 12th. Murray's. That's where you'll find Eddie. Because Eddie was used up.
You know, I'm glad you came for him. That corpse had me going there for a while.
Huh?
Yeah, oh. I walked into my lot. I'm Murray of Murray's Used Cars. Your name, please, sir?
Ben Guthrie.
Thanks, Mr. Guthrie. I take your name because it is unknown when you might be in the market for a used car. I know your name. It's like you're dealing with an old friend.
You found him like this?
Just the way you see him sitting there in the front seat, like he was real, like he was admiring the dashboard of this luxurious bargain in a used car. I hello'd him, went into my spiel.
You couldn't tell he was dead?
Well, now, I tell you, Mr. Guthrie, some of the suckers I get in here, it's hard to tell. But this one looks so sold. I thought he was alive and intelligent. Why, I even handed him my ballpoint fountain pen.
This man's Eddie Gaynor. Why didn't you call the police?
Well, finding a dead man all shot up in one of your better used car bargains, that takes a little mulling over, friend. After I mulled, I was going to call you for sure. Honest. You say this man's Eddie Gaynor I've been reading about in the papers? Well, what do you know? Well, what do you know about that?
Lieutenant Guthrie.
Yes, what is it, Clarity?
That lawyer, Tobin. We still haven't been able to find him. Still can't understand why he should take off like he did. Lose himself.
A client of his was found murdered in a used car lot. Maybe Tobin was ashamed. Maybe he heard we'd want to question him.
Yeah, but a big criminal lawyer like that?
Maybe something will come up. Keep looking. I've got to make this lineup.
Yes, sir.
what'd you say to the officer, Lee?
I didn't know he was an officer.
What'd you say to him?
Just did he want to see the sights of the city, tour of the spot, have a good time, you know.
Number 26, Mooney Rogers, purse snatching. Where do you live, Mooney?
Turn
I believe that's the man, Sergeant.
I believe that's the man, Sergeant.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure of it.
Sergeant Graham.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Send that man to my office for interrogation. A woman, too.
Right.
Oh, come in, Florence. Sit down. Mooney will be here in a minute.
Do I look awful? These clothes fit me like a bag. Oh, I can't help it, Lieutenant. I felt conspicuous all during that lineup.
Oh, it'll pass. You're getting to be a good policewoman, Florence.
I did good. I did good, huh?
You're dead, Mooney? Just fine.
I want to tell you, miss, when you're off duty, not being a policewoman, hold on to your purse tighter. There's guys like me for real on the streetcars.
What have you got, Mooney?
I'm a good stoolie, huh?
Yes, I told you.
The lady, the miss, does she think...
Mooney, you're a good stoolie.
Yeah. It's clever the way I arrange for the cops to pick me up so the boys won't know my true profession, so I can stay alive. So much shooting lately. Yeah.
What have you got?
You're looking for a lawyer, Tobin.
Mm-hmm.
I got a friend. Runs a Ferris wheel at the Bayshore Park. He's got a little room underneath the hotel.
There, huh?
You might try there, Lieutenant. Once Tobin did my friend a big favor. Arsony rap. You might try there.
You're a good stoolie, Mooney.
Yeah.
You're not a welcome sight to me, boy. You won't mind my saying it right to your faces.
Ah, Tobin, that hurts. Haven't we always cooperated with you? You walk in jingling coins. You ask us to release a boy. We release him just because you ask us. You have to be glad to see
us. Sure, Tobin. We made it so easy for Eddie Gaynor to get killed, we thought you'd want to thank us. That's why we looked you up.
I had nothing to do with killing that boy. Absolutely nothing. Quite the reverse.
Reverse? That means you were trying to save his life. Is that what it means, Tobin? Well, answer me.
It must mean something else, huh, Ben?
You're wasting your time, boy. I studied the law real hard. That's why I know about things like this. How policemen can waste time.
Where did it get you, studying hard? You've got a mansion, a three-car garage, servants to feed you, press your pants, and you end up under a Ferris wheel.
Maybe it's this, Matt. Maybe it's just that he likes to hide under a Ferris wheel. Other people ride, he hides.
It's just like you say, boy.
But there's one thing we don't understand, Tobin. Why do you like to hide? If you're all clear like you say, what's the need?
I forgot.
Maybe you thought no one would notice how Eddie was killed. How you got him out on a writ so he could be killed.
I forgot.
But at headquarters, you'll remember, eh, Tobin? So fix the crease in your pants and let's go.
Yeah, come on, let's go. How can you stand the noise of that wheel going round and round over your head? A thing like that could drive a man bats. Put the loose change in your pocket, Tobin. It'll get in the way of the cuffs.
You're making a big mistake, boys.
But we'll live. People like you make a mistake and you die. That's the difference between us.
There's one other thing we don't understand, Tobin. Eddie Gaynor was almost sure to be executed. Why did the syndicate have him released? Wouldn't it have been cheaper to let the state kill Eddie for him? The cuffs too tight, Tobin?
I'll make a deal with you, boys.
You know better. No deal.
I'll offer it anyway. You can consider it. There's no law says you can't consider it.
So?
You said a man like me makes a mistake, he gets killed. You are so right, you don't know.
Riddles, Tobin.
All I want for what I give you is protection. You've got to promise you'll do your best to keep me from getting murdered.
What have you got to give?
I was Johnny Taranto's friend. I tried to make something up to him. I didn't want him dead.
Who did?
Where's the promise? All right, kind heart, I'll tell you anyway. Eddie Gaynor was framed because someone wanted Johnny dead. Johnny was killed, and Eddie was a perfect pigeon. It was my own idea to get Eddie released. I thought Johnny would like that, for me to use this someone's pigeon to avenge Johnny's death.
This someone killed Johnny. Who?
Ruby Lloyd.
And the girl?
Ruby Lloyd.
And Eddie?
Ruby Lloyd. He'd kill me, too, if he could find me.
Prove it to us, Tobin.
How?
We'll get you to the phone.
You call Ruby. Tell him he doesn't have to look for you anymore. You'll be at Taranto's office in an hour.
You don't believe me, huh? You'll protect me?
If we have to.
You'll have to.
You sure you'll be all right, Ben?
Oh, I like it here, Matt. I like Taranto's swivel chair. No squeaks. Air foam. It's got a rich feel about it. How do you open a penny bank?
Hmm?
In Toronto's penny bank, how do you... Oh, never mind. Yeah, I got it.
I don't get it. I thought I was going to be...
The pigeon?
Look, Ben, what do you want to be, a hero?
Ruby Lloyd expects to meet Tobin here, doesn't he? I just want to surprise him.
I didn't realize that you
Take him out of here, Matt. Hold him on a... Well, he'll tell you what you hold him on.
An open charge will make it. Take me away, officer.
You sure, Ben? On your way out, turn out the lights.
All right.
See you, Ben. Elvin, you here?
Did I scare the pennies out of your hand, Tobin? Did I hurt you bad? I only want to kill you. That's for getting Eddie Gaynor released. That's for getting away the first time. That's to make sure you don't get away again.
Drop it, Ruby.
Huh?
Drop it. You're covered.
Prove it to me.
I've got you covered, Ruby. Behind you. If you don't believe, look over your shoulder. Three murders. But then you can only die once. Now, Ruby, let's go.
Lineup was produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin, and stars William Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie and Wally Mayer as Sergeant Matt Greb. Music was composed and conducted by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Virginia Gregg, Howard McNear, Junius Matthews, Edgar Barrier, Anthony Barrett, Paul Fries, and Clayton Post. The mysterious death of a man in Philadelphia in April of this year will be the unsolved murder case presented on CBS new anti-crime show, Somebody Knows, tonight. And after the facts are presented, $5,000 reward will be offered again for clues you may have leading to arrest and conviction of the killer. Somebody Knows, a vital clue which has not yet come to light, when these taken-from-life cases are presented each Thursday on most of these same CBS stations. Somebody Knows will be along just a little later tonight on CBS. This is CBS, where crime photographer solves the case on Thursday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's going to do it for this week's Case Closed. I'll be back next Wednesday with another one. In between now and then, you can find more from Richard Diamond, the lineup, past episodes of this show, and all the other podcasts at the website relicradio.com. There's also a link there to our Shoutcast stream and our donate button. If you enjoy this show, would like to help support it, give that a click. My thanks, as always, to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.